one day.
Good morning, Barbados. Psalm 118 verse 24 declares that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, as I greet you, I sincerely hope that you are rejoicing and that you are glad and that you are giving God thanks for the life He has spared you to live to see this morning. I am Nicole Hoyt, and I am the pastor of the Beckles Road Church of the Nazarene. And this morning, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the reason we rejoice. And as that familiar chorus is, I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I'm happy to be here again, giving thanks to God, thanking this radio station, and thanking our faithful sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, for their continuous support of this program throughout the years. Over the last few weeks, I've been sharing with you the announcement concerning our quarterly service, and today is the day where we, the Church of the Nazarene, will meet at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene at 10 a.m. for our quarterly service. I look forward to seeing all of you Nazarenes in your zone colors as we are led today by our evangelism committee under the theme, Engaged, Mobilized to Multiply. I sincerely look forward to seeing all of you there today. I've also been sharing with you an announcement from our lifelong learning department, and I want to invite you once again to listen to this announcement as we prepare to relaunch this very important program in September.
Are you ready to embark on a journey of lifelong learning? The CNC Lifelong Learning Barbados Center is back and better than ever. Mark your calendars for our September relaunch in face-to-face and online learning formats. Expand your knowledge with diploma and certificate programs in ministerial studies, Christian education, and Christian counseling. We offer over 45 courses across various disciplines, biblical studies, theological studies, church history, missions and evangelism, Christian education, Christian counseling, and general education. But that's not all. We also offer short courses on contemporary themes such as Christian discipleship, mental health and self-care, gender and human sexuality, and marriage and family. The wait is almost over. Look out for our detailed 2023 to 2024 course offering and get ready to unlock your potential, expand your horizons, and make a difference in your community. The Lifelong Learning Barbados Center is a department of the Caribbean Nazarene College, an accredited institution of higher education. We are committed to your success. Give us a call at 435-4444. Your journey to lifelong learning begins now.
Today, I want to turn your attention to an account recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verse 1 to verse 30. And this is an account where we encounter King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah at that time. As it sometimes happened in our life, Jehoshaphat was going about his business, doing his own thing, where he received some news that some enemy armies were about to invade Judah. And they were coming to bring destruction. They were coming to bring death. And in response to all that was happening, Jehoshaphat cried out to God and he prayed. And recorded in verse 12 is the words that we will read this morning for emphasis. And verse 12 says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Father, we thank you for these words. And today may the words of my mouth and my teaching of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I am sure all of us could identify with Jehoshaphat, even as he is experiencing the rush of emotion and the reactions that would come from receiving this terrible news. He was not expecting these armies to come against him. And as we note his reaction, we recognize that immediately it gave him a sense of fear. For the word of God says that after he heard this news in verse 3, it said he feared. So it was not something that he expected. He was not at home sitting thinking, well, today this army will invade me. And that's the way that life sometimes presents itself. We've been talking a lot about valleys and about battles. And sometimes life presents itself by things happening in a moment when we least expect them. When things are going well, bad news comes, a phone call comes, an email comes, some sort of correspondent comes to the house, and immediately our first reaction is to fear. As we spent time together through these last weeks, we were enforcing or reinforcing the reality that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so even though it's natural, it's almost human to have that initial reaction. I want us to look at what Jehoshaphat did after that and how he was able to really be delivered in the face of this great crisis that he was now facing, this great problem. Now, as you consider the problem, these three armies are coming to attack. They're coming to defeat. They're coming to kill. And when I read that, I'm reminded of what the word of God says to us, that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but God has come to give us life and life more abundantly. So we're seeing an army that's coming, and Jehoshaphat's first reaction, he feared, but then he immediately goes into action. And the first thing we see recorded in the word is that he set himself to seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today, when life comes at us, when our enemies are attacking us, when negative things are presented before us, the first thing we must do is to set ourselves to seek the Lord. So what do we do in times of trouble? We seek the Lord. It's like the psalmist declared in Psalm 121, where he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. And the question is asked, where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We must set ourselves to seek the Lord. In addition to seeking the Lord, Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast. He recognized that the situation was so urgent, it was so extreme, that he needed to fast before God. He needed to sacrifice everything before God. He recognized that he didn't have to eat as much as he needed to have God intervene for him. In Matthew 17, there is an account of the disciples trying to cast out a demon, and they could not. And when they asked the question, Christ responded by saying, well, it's your unbelief, but also these things need prayer and fasting. Friends, there's some things in your life that you will need to fast for. Now, I know that fasting is not the most popular thing for people to do today, but if we are going to have the victory, if we are going to have the deliverance, sometimes we need to spend time before God in prayer and in fasting. I want you to take note that it was not only Jehoshaphat who was fasting. He declared a fast through all of Judah. All the people were asked to fast. And as we see, Judah also gathered together to ask help of the Lord. So everyone saw the gravity of this situation. Everyone recognized the need for intervention from God. I'm sure as you look around our nation, I'm sure as you look at situations in your family and in your own life, that you also recognize the need. You recognize the gravity and the absolute importance to go to God, and also to encourage those around you to seek him, encourage those around you to seek his hand in the situations that we face as a nation and as individuals. So in response to this great threat, he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast. The nation gathered. And then he began to call to God in prayer. Friends, I could think of no better solution, no better response to a time of crisis or a time in the valley than to spend time in prayer before God. Because prayer really does work. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. So Jehoshaphat prayed. And we will take a few moments to look at the structure of his prayer. As he prayed, he first acknowledged who God is. He said, God, you are the God of my fathers. You are the God of those who have gone before me. And he wasn't saying that in terms of saying, well, God, you are the God of my grandfather, or you're the God of my great-grandfather. But he was identifying that you were the God who brought my fathers out of Egypt. You were the God who brought the children through the Red Sea. You were the God who was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day for them as they wandered through the wilderness. You are the God of my fathers. He also asked, are not thou the God of heaven? Recognizing the sovereignty of God. He was saying, listen, you are the sovereign ruler of the universe. It is you who sits in the heaven. It is you who make the earth your footstool. You are the God in heaven. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jehoshaphat was saying, listen, you are truly God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the God who sits in the heavenly places. You are God in the heavens. He also says, you are the God who rules everything. As I said before, he recognized him as the King of kings. He says, aren't you the God who rules over all kingdoms? So even though they're earthly kings, even though they're earthly princes and lords, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he goes on to say, in your hand is there not power and might? What he was saying here is that God, you are not just God in the heavens. You're not just God of my fathers, but you are the Almighty God. You are the all-powerful God. You are the God for whom nothing is impossible. There's power and might in your hand. You are that God. He also acknowledged that God was victorious because he said, you know, you have this power and might so that no one is able to withstand thee. What Jehoshaphat was really here saying is that there was no one like the God to whom he is praying. He continues by talking about how God was the one who drove out the inhabitants before Israel, speaking about God as the one who delivered the people in the past, speaking about God as the one who gave them the land as the inheritance. He was identifying all of the characteristics of God that he has come to know throughout his life. As he was praying, what he was really doing was strengthening his own faith, reminding God about the things he did in the past, and also by so doing, reminding himself that God is powerful and that God can still do all things. Listening, friends, this is a great model for us because sometimes we behave as though God has somehow grown powerless. But today is a good time to remind you that God is still omnipotent. God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think, ask, or even imagine. So here is Jehoshaphat, and he is praying before God. And he's really saying to God, you have all power. And then he culminates that nicely in verse 12, where he says, God, the God who is all powerful, the God of my forefathers, the God who delivered, the God who holds all power in his hands. God, we here, we feeble human beings, me, Jehoshaphat, we don't have a clue what to do. But our eyes are upon you, Almighty God. Our eyes are upon you, all-powerful God. Our eyes are upon you, the God who can do all things. Our eyes are upon you, Deliverer God. Our eyes are upon you, our Healer God. And that was his prayer in his time of need. And so as we look to the problem, we see Jehoshaphat responding in a way that says to God, God, we need you now more than ever. As I speak, I believe that there are those who are hearing my voice, that you have been rushed upon with bad news. You have been facing a sudden battle, a sudden attack, and it's taking you by surprise. And perhaps like Jehoshaphat, your first initial feeling was one of fear. But I want to encourage you to respond like how Jehoshaphat responded. Respond by setting yourself to seek the Lord. Respond by fasting before God. Respond by praying before God, highlighting who he is and what he has done. And even then casting your full attention and saying to him, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. As this account goes on, we see in verse 14 that God responded to him. He spoke through a young man that was there. In verse 14, it said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation, and he spoke. This was God answering the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Aren't you glad that you serve a God who answers prayer? And I want to tell you that he's not a God who only answered prayer in the Old Testament, but God is still answering prayer even now today. So as that little song says, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. It says, it goes on to say, you know, God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. So what it's really saying to us is that God answers prayer all the time. He's still answering prayer, even now. And he certainly answered the prayer of Jehoshaphat on that day. And his answer brought great reassurance to Jehoshaphat, and it should bring great reassurance for us as well today. He said to him, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Now, it was a great multitude. Three whole armies gathering together to come to do battle against the people of Judah. Anyone could see what that meant or what it looked like. But God said to them, don't be afraid, for the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Last week, as we spoke about David, a similar idea came forth that the battle is the Lord's. You see, as children of God, God takes pleasure in fighting our battles if we bring them to him. As children of God, God delights in protecting us, in delivering us from our situations if we take them to him. And so here is Jehoshaphat. He is going full of faith. He's going remembering who God is, and he's bringing his request before God, and God answered in a way that is tremendous, in a way that is wonderful, in a way that immediately brings relief and reassurance. He said, tomorrow you go down to the edge of the cliff. They'll be coming up to do battle against you. You go to meet them, but you won't have to fight. He said, position yourself, but you won't have to fight. Now, I find this to be an interesting command, because God is essentially saying, you don't have to do anything in this battle. Just get yourself in position. You see, getting in position was an important step of faith. It was absolutely essential for them to get in position if they were going to defeat the enemy that was attacking them. He also reinforced the need not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, but to go and face the enemy tomorrow And he said, the Lord will be with you. Friends, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged because God is with us. And when they heard this, they bowed down. They worshiped God because he answered in a way that reassured them that they will be okay at the end of this battle. Friends, when we talk to God and we share with him our concerns and he comes through for us, we also should respond in worship, in thanksgiving, letting him know that we are grateful for his answer and the way he's promised to fight. But it does not stop there. It did not stop there for Jehoshaphat. The next day, he had to get up and follow exactly as God directed him. The word of God says, early the next morning, he set out and he left for the desert just as he was commanded. And he encouraged the people to have faith in God and they will be successful. They'll be upheld. And as they went, they sang praises before God. He appointed men to sing and they began to give thanks to God. And what is interesting to me is that they're giving thanks even before the battle has started. Even before they got the victory, they're already giving thanks. And they're giving thanks because God has answered. And they trust God so much that they knew that if he answered, if he promised, that he who promised is faithful and he will indeed deliver. As they began to praise, the word of God says that the Lord set ambushes for them. It says that the people who were invading Judah defeated each other. It says that those who were coming against them rose up against each other and began to annihilate them. They slaughtered them. They destroyed each other. What an interesting turn of events. What an interesting way for this calamity which was being set against Judah to end, with the people of God being victorious without even having to lift one single finger. By the time the people of Judah came to the place and was able to see what should have been a battle, all they saw were dead bodies laying on the ground. And the word of God says that no one had escaped. All of the enemies were slaughtered. Friends, when God goes to battle for you, he does not leave any stone unturned. God brings a complete and total victory. And certainly on this day, Jehoshaphat saw this for himself. And they were able to go in and plunder the land and take all that they needed to take, all the articles of value. And it was said that it was such a great amount that there was more than they could take away. And it took them 3 days to accomplish it. And so it wasn't just that God gave them the victory, but God gave them the spoils from the war. He gave them the enemy's possessions so they can now have them as their own. And all of this was done and they did not have to lift a single finger. What then can we learn from Jehoshaphat today? We can learn that in life, things will come upon you suddenly. Sometimes an enemy that's brewing is suddenly unleashed. Sometimes a sickness that was held at bay has suddenly become something rampant. Sometimes a situation in our household that we were able to contain is somehow become something big and large that we can't handle. As we look at Jehoshaphat today in this account, we can recognize that when these things happen, we should seek out God. We're not running to any friend or family. We are seeking the face of God. We are lifting up our eyes to him because he is where our help comes from. Like Jehoshaphat, sometimes we have to fast. And we can't deny the power of spending time before God in fasting. Fasting breaks things. Fasting allows us to get closer to God and get into the will of God. Like Jehoshaphat, we should pray. Talk to the God that we know intimately. remind ourselves of who He has been to us, of what He has done for us in the past, and allow that to help us recognize that He is the same God who will act on our behalf even today. Like Jehoshaphat, we also have to obey when the instructions are given. Because although God said to them that the battle was His and not theirs, they still had to go and stand in the area. They still had to participate on God's terms. And sometimes God will say to you what you ought to do. And we must obey and follow through on God's terms. Like Jehoshaphat, we can recognize that we serve a God who delights in fighting for His children. We serve a God who delights in delivering His children from all manner of battles, all manner of evil. Like Jehoshaphat, we have to recognize indeed that there are times when we must stand still and see the salvation of God. And we recognize that when we do, that God comes through for us in such a mighty way, beyond what we can even expect, that even the spoils of the battle we can claim, even the victory beyond just the natural, the supernatural victory we can claim, because we put our trust and our hope in Almighty God. Father, we thank You this morning for this word. And God, we pray today, Lord, for anyone who is currently fighting a battle, anyone, God, who is currently facing a situation, Lord, that's too big for them. I pray that like Jehoshaphat, that they will declare today, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. And Father, even as they hear Your instructions, may they respond, oh God, in praise, in worship, God, and in obedience, God, and allow You to come through and to fight the battles for them. Father, we thank You for the victory. We thank You for the spoils of the victory as well. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I invite you to listen to this song, which reminds us just to stand still and know that He is God. The battle is ours. It is the Lord's.
Stand still and know that He is God. And there's no need to fight. For the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. So bad you wanna run and hide. Your enemy is out for you, and you don't know why. Oh yeah, it takes all your strength to hold back your tears. But you know you gotta face your fears. Let me whisper a word softly in your ears. Oh, stand still and know. For the battle is not yours. The battle is. Stand still and know He's God. There's no need to fight. For the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord.
Today, I want to remind you for the final time that today is a day for us Nazarenes to gather at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene for our quarterly service. I look forward to seeing all of you in your zone colors as we come together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Also, as we close, I want to thank Federal Motor Spirits once again for their faithful support of this radio program throughout the years. May God bless you. May you go into this week knowing that you serve a God who is willing to fight your battles for you. Even as you declare, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And I'm waiting on you, God, to bring the victory. I will be obedient even as you deliver me from this battle. God bless you again. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.